This is Linda Woods with WindowsToWellness.com, alternative talk radio about healing, self-help, and empowerment.
This is Linda Woods on Windows to Wellness, and our site is WindowsToWellness.com. I'm really glad that you're joining us today. Aaron Hoops is my guest today, and we're going to talk about A Journey for Self-Healing. And he's an author, instructor, holistic healer, and founder of Zen Yoga. Are you there, Aaron?
I'm here, Linda. Hi.
Oh, hi, and so glad you're joining us today.
Well, thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about where your background and how you got started on the holistic path?
Yeah, I actually was. It started when I went away to college. I was sort of on a path that could have gone one way or another, and decided that I needed some focus in my life. And when I got to college, which was at Tulane University in New Orleans, I got into a karate club. And
karate?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was. It
you
was
say
quite
that so
a,
much more eloquently than I did.
Yes, I speak Japanese, so karate is the correct pronunciation.
Okay.
But yeah, there was a Japanese master who had come over from Japan, and he hardly spoke any English, and he was one of these just sort of textbook kind of the guys you see in the movie, the old Japanese master. And so I was fortunate enough to train with him, and got so inspired that I had started learning the language and the culture and the history, and eventually designed my major. And once I graduated, I moved to Japan.
Oh, so what? How did you change your major? What was the focus?
I created my major into at Tulane. At that time, there wasn't a specific Japanese studies course, and we talked a counselor into being our guidance counselor for the program, and then did all our work for him so that we got credit as a major in Japanese studies.
And you moved to Japan.
I moved to Japan. I spent a total of 3.5 years there, and I was studying at the headquarters of the Japan Karate Association under the Grand Master, as it were, at the time. And it was very intense. It was 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, with a lot of Japanese people at the time who weren't used to foreigners coming over there and learning their arts. And so it got to be a little dangerous at times. I don't think a day or two went by without a black eye, a bloody nose, or a busted lip, or various bruises. It was.
So you weren't readily accepted into that environment.
No, it's sort of a trial by fire kind of thing. That's how it goes in Japan. You know, if you're going to be there doing this, they're going to test you. And similar to forging a sword by pounding it into shape or beating a shield into shape, you get beaten until you start to get stronger. And that's sort of part of the Japanese mentality in that respect.
Wow. Well, I spent some time over there on business. I'm glad that didn't happen to me. Of course, I wasn't challenging them or trying to be
them. It wasn't really. I mean, there were times when if you got too strong at it, they would beat you back down. In Japan, there's this whole concept of, you know, the squeaky nail gets knocked down, it really was an intensive time. I was, you know, spending 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, and
what
was,
were you learning?
I was learning karate. That's just everything from the beginning to the end, and learning how to do everything you can do with traditional Japanese karate.
And was your focus to come back and teach it?
Actually, my focus, I was teaching children English language. I was teaching the English language to children over there, and really just exploring the world and my life and everything. I didn't have a set plan as to what I was going to do with this once I finished. I knew that I just needed to learn as much as I could while I had this opportunity.
Well, to get beaten up like that, you had to be motivated.
Yeah, well, I think in Japan, the whole way that you learn is through repetition and through, you know, this type of training, a very hardcore over and over learning method that really instills it inside you in the very core. So you know, if you ever need to use it, it's not something you have to remember, oh, how do I do this? It's, you've done it so many times over and over and over again that it just becomes second nature.
Mm-hmm. So you spent 3.5 years there.
I did, and, mm-hmm. and when I left, I came back to the States and realized that my body was just had been abused. I mean, my hips ached, my knees ached, my shoulders, every part of my body was just sort of in pain from the battering that it had taken. And I started to get back into Tai Chi, which is something that I had studied for a long time. And that helped a bit, but I was still in a not able to do everything I wanted, and I was still quite young. But I got an opportunity to move to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I got over there and was searching around for some sort of art that I would be able to study. And I met an Indian yogi, a lady who, her name was Shanti. And she was in her mid-60s, but when she was 4 years old living in India, her parents had died and she was put into an Indian monastery. And she ended up doing yoga all day, every day for her whole life, basically.
From 4 years old?
Yeah, and now she's just this absolute amazing human being. You want to listen to every single word she says. She sort of floats as she walks and glows whenever she enters a room. And so I realized that this was really someone special and I needed to learn from her. And so I took the principles that I'd learned of the dedication of study from what my experience in Japan and sort of threw myself into studying with her. And
it was interesting that an Indian, did you say she was a yogi?
Yes, she emigrated to Australia.
That's what I was going to ask, how she ended up in Australia.
Yeah, she emigrated to Australia and created the Shanti Yoga Meditation Institute of Australia.
Okay. So you were really being led, don't you think?
I think I understood from my early training in the martial arts that you need teachers who have gained knowledge to help you along your path. And so when I come across someone who has something, you know, important to teach me, I try to learn as much as I can from them. And so that's what I did. I threw myself into the yoga. I took her teacher training course. I did her retreats. I trained as much as I could every day. And after a while, I came to this realization that all of those aches and pains in my body had disappeared.
I was going to ask you about that. Cause,
yeah, it was just amazing. Uh-huh. It really was.
And so how did you make your living while you were there, while you were training?
I was a Japanese-speaking tour guide. Since
I could speak Japanese,
and a lot of Japanese come to Australia as tourists at the time, I got a job driving a bus around, making jokes in Japanese and showing them the sights. It was quite ironic being an American who had just arrived over there to be doing that with the Japanese, but it was a lot of fun. I made, you know, wonderful friends, and it was perfect because you would do that in the morning or in the evening, but you'd have the whole day free to train.
Mm-hmm. And so how long were you in Australia?
I was in Australia for about 9 years.
Oh, long time.
Yeah.
And what brought you back to the States?
Well, after training for so long, and I was not only training in yoga over there, but I was doing a lot of Tai Chi and some various styles of Kung Fu, as well as my karate training. And I got to a point where I needed to put this all under one roof, as it were, so it made sense to me that all this stuff I was studying was basically teaching me the same thing, only from different avenues. Sort of like the trying to get to the top of the mountain, and there's many different paths. Mm-hmm. And I was discovering that all these different paths led to the same place. And so I wrote a book called Perfecting Ourselves, Coordinating Body, Mind, and Spirit. And that got picked up by a martial arts publisher called Turtle Press. And when that came out, I realized that in order to actually get it out there into the public domain, you know, to a wider audience, I needed to be back here in the States to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the decision to come back here. And
where do you live now?
I live in Vermont, but I also spend a lot of time in Connecticut.
So you found a way to heal yourself and
I did.
Repair your battered body.
I did. And, well, it's more than that, though. It's like much more than just repairing yourself. It's excelling beyond sort of state that a lot of us live in. It's getting to a place where you actually feel energized. You feel this energy flowing through your body, and you can use it to help yourself feel better.
But I don't think anybody listening is going to want to go through what you went through to get there.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's really the reason that I created Zen Yoga in the beginning, because I realized that for all of the stuff that I had gone through, that had given me the opportunity to get to a place where I could realize that it's not about doing, all of this heavy-duty physical activity in order to beat your body into one shape and then heal it back up and doing all that. It's much more about some very simple changes we can make, that anybody can make in their life, to help the body work the way it's supposed to. The body it's an amazing thing. It can heal itself. It can do wonderful things, but it needs certain things in order to have that process work the way it's supposed to. And it's a very simple process, but most of us are so busy with all of the stuff and distractions in our life that we miss out on this opportunity to really help ourselves feel absolutely wonderful.
Well, I have dabbled a bit in yoga back when I was much more limber, and I had a Rodney Yee video, and I did it in my living room, and I'll have to say that people told me I walked differently when I did yoga, that I just had a different air about me. I guess I was just so much more in tune with my body and the way I was in the world, and then I stopped, and I really want to get back into some kind of training that will give me that energy that you spoke about. That's something that we all really crave, is that
absolutely.
Just that wonder of being alive kind of energy. And I sense that in your voice, that you have that. Am I
well,
right?
I do this all the time. And to be honest, I didn't want any... I no longer wanted to work for someone else or do a job that I worked on to make money so that I could then do this. So I literally just made it into something that enables me to do it all day, all the time.
That's wonderful.
I travel, I teach workshops, I do this as my job, and it allows me to continue to do it because it makes me feel alive.
And it's called Zen Yoga. Your book is called Zen Yoga, A Path to Enlightenment Through Breathing, Moving, and Meditation by Aaron Hoops. And there's a picture of you on the cover. I don't know how you got into this position, Aaron. I don't know that I would ever be able to get out of that position, but you look very fit and limber. What is that pose that you're in?
That's a seated meditation pose that I call the arrow, where the knees are on top of each other with the feet splayed out on either side. And it just, what it does, it works the, it allows the points in the hips to be stimulated to bring the blood to flow into the hips a lot easier and more strongly. So you sit in that pose for a little while, and you start to notice the pressure on the specific points of your legs, and when you get up, then it's sort of, there's this rush of energy through your legs.
Does this have anything to do with the Chinese meridians and working?
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh. The Zen Yoga is based on the philosophy of Chinese Tai Chi and Qigong breathing, as well as the Indian yoga. And so I've tried to blend the philosophy of the meridians and the circulation of Qi energy through the microcosmic orbit, blending that with the concept of the chakras and the kundalini energy.
The microcosmic?
Microcosmic orbit. That's the circle. That's the energy circles through our body in a circle. It comes down. It comes in through the nose and goes down the center front of the body to the root center, and then it rises up the spine over the crown of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get this energy circulating in the proper way through breathing, the energy actually just goes around in this orbit, around and around, getting stronger and stronger inside of you.
Well, when we get back from break, Aaron, I want to talk about your program and how the average person with so much stress in their life, who probably also has a lot of pain in their body, can use your program to help them self-heal. This is Linda Woods on Windows to Wellness. My guest today is Aaron Hoops. Our topic is A Journey for Self-Healing. His book is called Zen Yoga, A Path to Enlightenment Through Breathing, Movement, and Meditation. His website is artofzenyoga.com. We'll be right back.
Be sure and visit our website at www.windowstowellness.com. www.windowstowellness.com.
This is Linda Woods on Windows to Wellness, and our site is windowstowellness.com. And I'm really glad you're joining us today. Our topic is A Journey for Self-Healing. And my guest is Aaron Hoops. He is the author of the book Zen Yoga, A Path to Enlightenment Through Breathing, Movement, and Meditation. His website is artofzenyoga.com. He's an instructor, a holistic healer, and the founder of Zen Yoga. It's actually a practice that anyone can do. Is that right, Aaron?
That's correct, yes.
What is Zen Yoga?
Basically, it's a holistic system. It covers the fundamental needs of physical health, mental clarity, and spiritual peace. It's about being mindful in the present moment and the ability to stay present as you live your life. It combines the flowing movement of Tai Chi with the energized breathing of Qigong, as well as the relaxed stretching of Shanti Yoga and the serenity that you get through meditation.
I probably wouldn't be able to go to work after that.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So do you meditate while you're in yoga pose?
Well, if you know anything about Tai Chi is really like a moving meditation in itself. And the idea of meditation is really not to stop all those hectic thoughts from running through your mind. It's just trying to find a little space in between the thoughts. And that's where we try and place ourselves as we practice, because when you get space between the thoughts in your mind and you can get some space inside your body with the breath, then you really allow that peace to sort of pervade your being. And it's very beneficial for stress.
Now, I'm used to seated meditation. I tried Tai Chi once, but I had just broken an ankle, so I couldn't really do the movements. I just stayed in one place and did the upper body movements. But it was difficult because I had an ankle fracture. So
yeah, that can make it a little difficult. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of seated meditation in Zen Yoga as well. It's really about wherever the practitioner is. If you can't stand, you sit. If you can't sit, you lie down. It's not about what you can't do. It's really about what you can do for yourself to help yourself feel as good as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people who wouldn't feel comfortable going into a yoga class because, you know, nowadays in the Americanized yoga, there's a lot of this, you know, posturing to look good and wearing the right clothes and trying to become a pretzel. Whereas what Zen Yoga is about is really simply about you in your own body trying to feel what's going on and help it feel better.
Before the interview, you told me that you work with people who have diabetes, who have, you know, health problems, mm-hmm. all kinds of issues. They're not intimidated by this process? How do you attract
people? Absolutely not. I work with an endocrinologist from Yale University at his private health center called Beyond Care, Branford, Connecticut. And he does basically all of the blood tests and the nutritional aspects of care for people with diabetes, obesity issues, osteoporosis, cancer survivors, and various problems like that. And what he does, he sends them to me, and I see them in a one-on-one basis and basically get them doing the very simple program, which I call the Zen Yoga Daily Warm-Up. And that's just a standing program that is on DVD that anybody can do. It's about it works all of the joints, gets the muscles exercised. It brings the energy into the body and circulates it around through. And I basically require these clients to do it every single day. And the transformation is just amazing because they actually start to do something for themselves that they didn't realize was so simple and easy. I think we have this idea that, oh, if I want to get in shape or I want to do something to, you know, help my fitness out, I have to go run on the treadmill at the gym or lift weights or do something that's unpleasant. Whereas Zen Yoga is designed to be absolutely wonderful and feel good doing it.
I noticed you have the DVD on your website, mm-hmm. artofzenyoga.com, and that would be a good way to start because you wouldn't have to leave your house.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. and this is the principle of Zen, of another basic principle of Zen Yoga. I travel and teach workshops around the country and around the world. I'm actually heading to Australia and Japan next week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about getting people to understand that, you know, I think everybody or a lot of people have gone to a yoga class and they've experienced how good it feels to do that. Just like you said before, you have done this. But then we go to the class, we feel great, and then you come back to your regular life.
Right.
And the next week you go to the class and you feel great, and then you come back to life. And there's this sort of disconnection between having that great feeling in the yoga class but then going back to all the hectic distractions of your life. And the idea of Zen Yoga is to take that great feeling that we get in a class, such as a yoga class or a Tai Chi class or whatever it may be, and bring that into your daily life. Bring that into everything that you do. And the principles on the DVD and in the book are methods for practicing to incorporate this into everything you do. So you're breathing during your daily life. You're shaking your hands or circling your hips or doing simple exercises to continue to allow this energy to flow through you.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we found at Beyond Care is that it actually, you know, I think we have this imagination that, oh, if I don't get exercise, I'm going to get fat or I'm going to be out of shape or whatever. But when we go to the gym, you really spike your metabolism way up high. And the body only has, when you finish your workout, the body has two ways to recover, and they're eating or sleeping. In the busy lifestyles that we have, we don't always have time to come home from a workout and go to sleep, so we supplement our energy needs through eating, and this leads to weight problems, weight gain. The idea of Zen Yoga is not to spike the metabolism way up. It's only to raise the metabolism off the baseline. But once you raise it up, say, doing this workout in the morning, you maintain that raised metabolism, that burn rate. You maintain it at that higher level for 6 hours and continuously throughout the day simply by doing some other breathing exercises as you go through your day.
So as you're at your desk at work,
As you're at your desk at work, maybe you take a little break every once in a while. You shake your hands out. You circle your hips. You work the joints in your shoulders. You do some of these exercises that you've practiced each morning through the DVD, and it becomes second nature. It becomes natural for your body to want to move, to want to breathe, to want to feel this energized feeling moving through it.
I notice you have a blog on your site.
I do.
Do you actually talk with your visitors,
you know,
or how do you, I don't know how you refer to them?
Just Zen Yoga adepts is what I call them, people who've
uh-huh.
tried it and done it. And basically I try to put different writings. I've done a lot of different writings. I sometimes write poetry or things that are inspirational, that help people, not sort of out there in the mist, but that are real, that people can resonate with and understand and sort of feel what Zen Yoga is about and get some guidance from it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Because that would be important, I think, to have a coach.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to do. We, with we're very open to everywhere we go. We talk with people and offer our services in either personal training or through our workshops to answer questions and provide this knowledge in a way that really doesn't intimidate or doesn't shut anybody out.
So when you travel, like you're going to Australia next week, do you have someone that's arranged for your arrival who has people sign up for your course, or do you go and give a lecture, or how do you?
Actually, my trip to Australia for the most part, that's going to be a holiday. Meeting a friend. We're going for a walkabout out in the rainforest for 5 days. But in Tokyo, I have a big workshop in Tokyo on February 22nd, and then I have a book signing at a bookstore on the next day, and then I'm going to be at the Tokyo Press Club and have an interview with some journalists there. And that was all set up by my publisher in Japan. For the most part, when I do my workshops around the country here in the States, it's either something I've set up or contacts that I know who have contacted me or someone in Zen Yoga here looking for someone to come and give a talk or give a stress relief program or some sort of thing like that.
Well, I sense that you take all of this publicity pretty much in stride because you're very calm. And you're all of a sudden thrown into the limelight with book signings and press releases and journalists and interviews. And how has that changed you?
Well, it's funny because, I mean, I've done the karate, and that's what I call sort of my foundation is the karate, which really is a character building art. I mean, it really is something that builds a strong sense of who you are. And I've always taught that. I've taught karate at Dartmouth College back probably 20 years ago, and I've taught. I was teaching children in Japan. I've taught children's classes all over the place. So I feel pretty comfortable teaching. And so when I go into a book signing or when I go into a workshop, I know this material. It's not like I have to read up and practice what it is. This is what I live. This is what I embody. And I simply feel like I'm sharing my knowledge of what I've learned over these many years with the people who attend. And so it's not about, Zen Yoga is not really about me personally. It's about this art, this combination of breathing and movement and stretching and meditation that helps each person feel better. And I'm simply trying to pass this knowledge on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really about fame or anything like that. It's much more about just spreading it out, and you know, anything you do, something you do all the time, and you have an intimate knowledge of all of the subject, then it's very easy to talk about, I think.
You do it very well. And I'd like to talk to you in the next segment. I have a physical issue that I would like to know how you would help someone with my condition. And are you ready for that when we come back?
Yes.
Okay. This is Linda Woods on Windows to Wellness. Our site is windowstowellness.com. My guest today is Aaron Hoops. He's the author of the book Zen Yoga, A Path to Enlightenment Through Breathing, Movement, and Meditation. His website is artofzenyoga.com. We'll be right back.
Be sure and visit our website at www.windowstowellness.com. www.windowstowellness.com.
This is Linda Woods on Windows to Wellness, and our site is windowstowellness.com. My guest today is Aaron Hoops. He's the author of the book Zen Yoga, A Path to Enlightenment Through Breathing, Movement, and Meditation. And I have to tell you, I really want to get there, Aaron, and as do many, many people listening. And I listen to you and how you do this full time, and it's just such a joy to be alive. And I'm sure that you run into people who have physical problems, who life is just so overwhelming. You even say that
every
in your,
day.
Your
every
press
day.
Kit, that the world is so hectic with so many distractions, and no one has time for fitness or time for meditation. You're here to tell us otherwise.
Absolutely.
And, I don't have any cartilage in one of my knees.
Hmm.
And just to be able to move is excruciating sometimes. And I don't want to put metal in my body. I don't want to have knee replacement surgery. I'm taking herbs. I'm telling my cells, you know, you've got to regenerate. I'm in command here. And I'm very grateful for you that you're here and you're healing. But when you deal with that pain every day, it's hard to really believe that you can
Absolutely.
Regenerate tissue. And I would give anything to be able to feel like you do. So for someone like me and people with any kind of a physical limitation, what would you say?
Well, that's a really good question. And I talk to people with those kinds of issues all the time. I think there's this tendency that we have when we have some sort of problem, like a knee or a hip or whatever it may be, there's this tendency to cut that part off from the whole. There's this tendency to say, "Oh well, I've got a bad knee, so I don't do anything. I don't get on my knees. I don't do this." We start to cut out and define ourselves by that. You know, I just mm-hmm. limp a little. It's not a big deal. And make excuses for it. And it's really sort of like cutting that part of your body off and isolating it and saying, well, that's just my problem. I deal with it. You know, like you say, you're in pain when you walk or when you do what you do. And I think that the idea instead is if we can bring that part of us that isn't working as well as it should be or as we want it to be, if we can bring that back into the whole and reintegrate it with the whole system and allow the whole system to bring that healing energy to that place, then we give the body an opportunity to help that part.
Okay.
And I it's really important to understand that this type of work that we do in Zen yoga, the breathing, the movement, especially the breathing and movement for this kind of problem, it's not a magical cure. It's not something that you can do today and be all better tomorrow. It's a process, but it's a process that has to become a whole part of your life. So you practice this breathing in the morning, you practice the breathing during the day, you do the movements, you do the stretching, the exercises, and tomorrow you may feel exactly the same as you do today. The day after you may feel exactly you do as the same today. But each time you take a deep breath, each time you do this, it's like you get a grain of sand, and you put that grain of sand aside, and you do it the next day, and you get a grain of sand. Well, in a week, you may have a little pile of sand. But as you practice this over the months, over the years, 5 years, however long, eventually you're building yourself this beach, and that's the metaphor for you're building this strength, this energy, this process up in your body, and that is what is going to heal the parts of you that aren't working right. And it may not be that you're going to be able to go run a marathon, but it will mitigate the pain. It will allow you better movement. It will allow you to feel better.
You were talking about when you went to Australia and studied the Shanti Yoga, how your pains went away. Mm-hmm. And it was just something you all of a sudden realized one day, right? That
yeah, you uh-huh. sort of, you live with these, everybody lives with, you know, aches and pains, the low back or this and that and stuff. And we get numb to it. It becomes, you know, something that we just, you know, we don't do certain things because we know it hurts. But mm-hmm. eventually you get to the place where you do that thing that you wouldn't do before just in an accident or just by happenstance, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, it's not hurting anymore. Why is that? And it's because you've given your body the opportunity to do what it does. I mean, the body heals itself. This is a fact. It does. If as long as we don't put chemicals in our bodies, as long as we're not mistreating it, it really will do what it's supposed to do.
Well, I meant to ask you, does your philosophy incorporate a certain way of eating?
It does. I talked a little bit about it in my first book, Perfecting Ourselves, and I did not really go into it in the Zen Yoga book because this is much more the physical practice and the mental meditation and the spiritual practice. I've really become quite at peace with the nutritional aspect of this way of life. And what it comes down to is to cut the chemicals and the poisons and the toxins out of the foods that we're eating. That's really what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be about calories. It doesn't have to be about carbohydrates or this or that or all these cholesterol, this and that. It's about the poisons. It's about the things on the label that are not food.
Okay.
The high fructose corn syrup, the hydrogenated oils, the sodium benzoate, the MSG, and all of its related secret words that also mean MSG. If you can cut those out of your diet, then you're giving the body the chance to do what it's supposed to do. These chemicals inhibit digestion, making it hard for the body to process the food that we take in. And by getting that out of the system, by cleaning the body of the toxins and the poisons, the chemicals and the impurities in the food that we eat, then you're giving your body a chance to do what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then your body starts to want to eat properly.
I noticed your book is divided into mind, body, and spirit. And are you a big believer in the predominant thought that you carry is what your cells respond to? I don't know if I asked that quite right, but, you know, if I'm constantly focused on my limitation, then the limitation will continue to be there because that's my focus.
Right. What you think about, you create.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become almost a cliche now with all of these. There's been a lot of talk of that in this movie, The Secret, and things like that. But it really is true to the extent that it's not about trying to get financial gain or monetary, you know, success or something like that. It's much more about directing the way your spirituality grows and how your life becomes. And if you are concentrating on making yourself a good person, helping others, doing these positive things to bring peace and joy to the world, then that is what manifests itself around you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's negativity, if it's like, oh, I always fail at this, or I never am able to do that, then that's the story you create inside your body, and that is what begins to manifest itself for you.
So I guess the predominant thought would be I'm whole, complete, all of my body functions in integration, everything is connected, I'm a pure spiritual being.
Yes, if you were to do that kind of thinking, I'm much more, I can't stress enough, and this is really the heart and soul of what Zen Yoga is. It's about learning to breathe properly. You know, most of us just do not know how to breathe, or else we've learned and we've forgotten, or else we're too busy with all the stuff in our lives to do it. And, you know, I think most people breathe with just the top third of their lungs. It's very shallow. It's something I call subsistence breathing. It's breathing enough to keep the body functioning at a minimum level. When we breathe, we take in oxygen, it becomes energy, it goes into our bloodstream, taking the nutrients to all the parts of the body that need it. In addition, that blood cleans out the toxins and impurities of the body, and we expel that as carbon dioxide. Now, if we're breathing with just one-third of our lungs, then that whole process is only working at one-third of its potential ability. if we learn to breathe properly, get the whole system breathing fully, deeply, effectively, then we're tripling the ability of our body to do what it's supposed to do.
So it's learning how to breathe properly. And when I'm in meditation, I do it deeply. But when I'm driving, I don't. When I'm at work, I don't. It's very shallow. And it's so that's the key to everything.
It is. And, you know, we do get distracted by all of the stuff that's going on in our minds or in our lives and tend to allow the breathing to become subconscious or unconscious. And when the breathing is unconscious, it becomes shallow. It becomes subsistence breathing and to enable the body to stay alive. But when we can be conscious of it, then we can take it deeper. We can bring in more oxygen, create more energy within us. And this is how the Zen yoga practice, like the daily warm-up, works, is that you practice these deep breathing exercises in the morning to energize yourself, get yourself going. And then throughout the day, your body has got this energy moving, and it almost reminds you itself to take a deep breath. If you're stuck in traffic, instead of getting upset at the person who cuts in front of you, to take that deep breath. Or if you're standing in line at the supermarket, or if you're cooking dinner, or whatever you may be doing, to take those moments and string them together, connecting them with the breath.
Mm-hmm. I was in an auto zone over the weekend, and the man waiting on me was just moving around at such a frantic pace. And he said, oh, it's so stressful in here. And I said, well, you know, you could just take a deep breath. He said, I don't have time to take a deep breath.
Yeah,
and I said, well, it's a choice. Yes, you do. And I walked out thinking, Linda, you should be taking the deep breaths.
Yeah.
So, you give advice. You need to, you teach what you need to learn, I think.
Exactly.
And, when we get back from break, I'd like to talk more about your practice and how it all works together. And it's just so interesting and exciting to meet someone like you who has just got it together. And do you feel like that you can actually say that about your life? I sense that you can.
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Linda Woods on Windows to Wellness. Our site is windowstowellness.com. I'm just going to have to start breathing more, and I can't wait to try this program. Aaron's book is called Zen Yoga, A Path to Enlightenment Through Breathing, Moving, and Meditation. His website is artofzenyoga.com. Take a look and check out the DVD, which is the morning workout. I'm certainly going to do that. The daily, what is it?
The Zen Yoga Daily Warm-Up.
Daily Warm-Up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Be sure and visit our website at www.windowstowellness.com. www.windowstowellness.com.
This is Linda Woods on Windows to Wellness, and our site is windowstowellness.com. Today we're talking about a journey for self-healing. My guest is Aaron Hoops. He's the author of this wonderful book. It's called Zen Yoga, A Path to Enlightenment Through Breathing, Movement, and Meditation. And Aaron is a holistic healer and founder of Zen Yoga. He's studied in Japan, Australia, and the United States. And you were telling me that it's a combination of Tai Chi, Shanti Yoga, meditation, and Qigong. Is that right?
Yes, Qigong, yeah.
Qigong, okay. So what parts do you work on first? How do you start?
Everything starts with breathing.
Okay.
Just getting people to breathe longer, deeper, and slower. And the basis of it is really the Chinese Qigong breathing, which is done in and out through the nose, which allows us to do sort of dynamic breathing exercises without unbalancing the levels of oxygen and carbon dioxide in the body so that we don't get lightheaded or dizzy.
Okay.
I think some breathing exercises, when we breathe in and out through the mouth, you can almost hyperventilate, which isn't good.
Okay.
So it's with the mouth closed, the tongue is connected to the roof of the mouth, and you're breathing in and out through the nose. And then we're breathing abdominally, so we're using our abdominal muscles to push out as we breathe in This creates a vacuum, allowing the lungs to expand fully into the chest cavity. And then as you breathe out, you pull those abdominal muscles in and up, which compresses the lungs and allows them to empty completely.
Oh, I don't know that mine have ever emptied completely.
Well, it actually works the muscles of your abdomen, which is just where everybody, you know, feels that they may be a little fat. And so by actually engaging the muscles as a muscular action in addition to the respiratory action, you're getting a sort of a muscular belly workout, as well as drawing the breath deeper when you push out and then pushing the breath out more fully as you breathe out.
Okay. I'm trying to do it and listen at the same time, and I'm concentrating on what's happening with my stomach, and I'm not present with you, so I think I'll just wait.
When you first try to breathe this way, it may feel a little odd, but after a little practice, it comes very quickly. And I think the thing to remember is that if you've ever watched a baby breathe, this is how they do it. This is how we all used to do it when we were an infant. And it's only as more and more stuff has gotten piled up in our brains and running around our heads that the breath is drawn way up into our chest.
What happens when you start breathing this way? What's the first thing that you can experience?
Basically, you get more energy into your body. You actually fill your body up with more energy. And what happens when you breathe this way is you put space inside your body. You put space into your muscles. You put space in your joints. You put space into your body that allows for the tension and the stress to be alleviated. And if you think about what tension or what stress is, it's a tightening, it's a constricting, it's a closing down. And when we breathe deeper, when we have more oxygen in the body, when more energy is flowing through us, that opens these constrictions and allows things to fill and expand. And that's what this process of breathing does. It really bring some space into those tense and stressed areas.
I've never thought of it that way before. Mm. And then you also spoke about the space between your thoughts. Is that connected?
Absolutely. That's how it works. I think we have everybody, maybe not everybody, but I know I do. I have all these thoughts that just sort of ramble around from the moment I'm awake till the moment I go to sleep. And In meditation, I think there's this concept that, oh, we've got to stop thinking and just be in harmony or satori or whatever word you want to use for it. And that's not really what meditation is about. Meditation is about putting some space between the thoughts so that you can think more clearly. And it really is the breathing that is the connection between the mind and the body. If we're concentrating on this deep rhythmic breath into the body, number one, we're helping the body get more healthy and release the tension. But number two, we're also concentrating on the breathing with our mind so that the other hectic thoughts have to take a number and get in line and wait to be thought. And what you find is the more you do this, the more space you put into your mind, the less that these thoughts sort of attack you and that they rise up in importance when they're needed to be thought about, but not all of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you on the DVD?
I am. Yeah.
Okay, so we actually see how you do the breath.
Yes. There's a talk on breathing on the DVD, and then throughout the practice, there are cues as to when to do breathing and how to do it and all of that. And there's also a guided meditation CD, which is a different program, which is called Inner Sunrise, which goes through the breathing exercises and then guides the energy up through the body in a program that you just lie down and listen to. It's not something you watch.
Okay. And when you do this breath work, do you hold the breath for a certain amount of time?
Yes. Sometimes you hold the breath. When you're practicing just the breathing exercises, sometimes we do hold the breath. When we're doing the movement exercises, we want a flow of in and out because that's what circles the energy.
Well, let's talk about some of the movement exercises. I mean, I'm looking at your book, and it does look a bit intimidating in certain sections.
It shouldn't at all because I think we tried to make the book accessible to everyone, so of course there's going to be some things in there that people who are very flexible might want to try. But for people who don't have the inclination to do something like that, there's plenty of other things to practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where do you start? Do you have a video also with this, a DVD? Or?
Yeah, well, the starting point really is from where Zen Yoga is based is the daily warm-up. It's done all in standing format. It's a combination of Qigong breathing with movement and stretching, and it's accessible to anyone. You know, even if you have bad hips or bad knees or whatever, you can do most of what's on this program. It takes 20 minutes each morning, and it helps you to feel wonderful, and that's where Zen Yoga starts.
Mm-hmm. So even if you just do it 20 minutes a day, you'll feel the benefits from it.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it accumulates. It's like the sand you were talking about.
Absolutely. And I think this is another one of those sort of things that we get into our minds that, you know, oh, well, that's not enough. I need to do an hour a day or 2 hours a day. Well, to be honest, in the world that we live in with all of our everything that we're doing, there's not often that much time to put aside to work out or to do what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 minutes, if you're doing this practice correctly, 20 minutes is enough, because then you go out into your day and you continue to breathe. You continue to do movement exercises because your body is responding to the energy within it. And so it's not like, oh, I do my 20 minutes and then I never think of it again. It's I do my 20 minutes, I get my engine started, I get myself going with this energy, and then I ride that throughout the whole day.
Well, Aaron, what has been your greatest joy in doing this work and helping people? What do you see a lot?
You know, I think we live in a time where, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've all been out in a place where someone walks into the room and they're uptight or they're stressed out or they're angry, and it sort of pervades everyone. There's a tension that creeps over us. And what I've found with Zen Yoga is that when you can do something for yourself, and it starts within each of us, it's not about going out and telling someone else they have to do something. It's about each of us on our own helping ourselves feel better and doing something to bring some space into our bodies and our mind and our spirit. And when we do that, we can actually go out and come into the room and bring positive energy, bring that positive feeling, and spread that space out to other people. And that's what I find when people come up to me and they say, oh, I've been doing your DVD every single day, and it just feels wonderful, and I feel so good. That's what this is about. It's, mm-hmm. it's when people really start to feel good and start to spread that to other people is what's important, because there's so much of this selfishness, of this me first, this I've got to get everything I can for myself in the world today, that we're really on the wrong track in that respect. And it's important for the people that are able to hear this to do something for themselves which is going to help everyone in the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've certainly helped me today. I mean, I've got some hope that my knee is not disconnected from the rest of me, and that I am in control, and it's not out of my control, I guess.
It's not. And let me add one more thing just about your knee. I think it's important that you do the breathing exercises, you do whatever movement you can, but you also, you know, rub your hands over your knee. Allow the blood and energy to flow from your thighs down to your knee, from your calves up to your knee, and let it feel like it's part of the whole body.
Okay.
And it really will. I studied shiatsu when I lived in Japan under another really amazing teacher, and he really was about getting the energy to flow to the parts of the body. And you need to massage it. You need to let that part of your body know that it is connected to the whole, and the energy flows there.
You know, I've even heard of a woman who had, it was some kind of a cassette tape program, called Loving Your Body. And when she was in the shower, she actually spoke words of love to each part of her body. And her body reshaped itself just from that act of loving. And that's something that I forget to do. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah, it's
express appreciation.
Absolutely. It's really amazing how our body responds when we give it what it needs.
And that really comes down to self-love, don't you think?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And that's where it starts. I mean, how can we expect others to love us when we are having trouble loving ourselves? When we can love ourselves, then it becomes the whole world.
I agree. Well, any final words for our listeners today, Aaron, before you go?
Remember to breathe.
Okay. But breathe properly.
Yep, in and out through the nose.
Okay. Will I be able to take a workshop in my area? Or, I mean, do you have people under you who have...
What we're doing, we've started an instructor program, and we've branched out into Florida, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine, up in Canada, and I'm hopefully out in California soon, also in Australia and South Africa and Japan. So
if somebody wanted to be an instructor?
Someone would want to be an instructor, what we do is we do an online course to begin with, and they go through all of the program to learn the whole philosophy and background of it, and then attend a workshop, a teacher training program that we have. We hold retreats in Vermont, or maybe if there was enough interest, I could come to the area and do it there.
Okay.
But it starts with a 12-week online course that anybody can get started with, even if they don't want to be an instructor, if they just want to, you know, enhance their spiritual understanding.
And all that information is on your website.
Yes, it's all on the website.
And the site is artofzenyoga.com.
Yep.
Aaron, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you very much, Linda. It's been wonderful talking with you today.
And I feel inspired and motivated and alive, so I'm sure I'm not the only one. So thank you again, and all the best to you, and thank you for bringing this work.
Thank you very much.
Be sure and join us next week for another edition of Windows to Wellness. Until then, remember to take care of yourself, open some of those windows to wellness, and most importantly, look for opportunities to love. We'll see you next week.
Be sure and visit our website at www.windowstowellness.com. www.windowstowellness.com.